Third Sunday after Pentecost, June 9th. The Collect and Psalm will be read from the Episcopal Church Book of Common Prayer. The Old Testament, Epistle, and Gospel will be read from the International Children's Bible. O God, from whom all good proceeds, grant that by your inspiration we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding may do them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Track 1, Old Testament, is from 1 Samuel, chapter 8, verses 4 through 20, and chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. So all the elders came together and met Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You're old, and your sons don't live as you do. Give us a king to rule over us like all the other nations." When the elders said that, Samuel was not pleased. He prayed to the Lord. The Lord told Samuel, "Listen to whatever the people say to you. They have not rejected you. They have rejected me from being their king. They are doing as they have always done. When I took them out of Egypt, they left me. They served other gods. They are doing the same to you. Now listen to the people, but give them a warning. Tell them what the king who rules over them will do." Samuel answered those who had asked him for a king. He told them all the words of the Lord. Samuel said, "If you have a king ruling over you, this is what he will do. He will take your sons. He will make them serve with his chariots and his horses. They will run in front of the king's chariot. The king will make some of your sons commanders over 1,000 men or over 50 men. He will make some of your other sons plow his ground and reap his harvest. He will take others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. This king will take your daughters. Some of your daughters will make perfume. Others will cook and bake for him. He will take your best fields, vineyards, and olive groves. He will give them to his servants. He will take 1/10 of your grain and grapes and give it to his officers and servants. He will take your men servants and girl servants. He will take your best cattle and your donkeys. He will use them all for his own work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that time comes, you will cry out because of the king you chose. The Lord will not answer you then." But the people would not listen to Samuel. They said, "No, we want a king to rule over us. Then we will be the same as all the other nations. Our king will judge us. He will go with us and fight our battles." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let's go to Gilgal. At Gilgal, we will again promise to obey the king." All the people went to Gilgal, and there before the Lord, the people made Saul king. They offered fellowship offerings to the Lord. Saul and all the Israelites had a great celebration. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. The psalm appointed for the day is Psalm 138. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name, because of your love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things. When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me. All the kings of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, he cares for the lowly. He perceives the haughty from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me. The Lord will make good his purpose for me. O Lord, your love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Tract 2 Old Testament is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. Then they heard the Lord God walking in the garden. This was during the cool part of the day, and the man and his wife hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man. The Lord said, "Where are you?" The man answered, "I heard you walking in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." God said to the man, "Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat fruit from that tree? I commanded you not to eat from that tree." The man said, "You gave this woman to me. She gave me fruit from the tree, so I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What have you done?" She answered, "The snake tricked me, so I ate the fruit." The Lord God said to the snake, "Because you did this, a curse will be put on you. You will be cursed more than any tame animal or wild animal. You will crawl on your stomach, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. I will make you and the woman enemies to each other. Your descendants and her descendants will be enemies. Her child will crush your head, and you will bite his heel." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Tract 2, Psalm appointed for the day, is Psalm 130. Out of the depth have I called you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, were to note what is done amiss, O Lord, who could stand? For there is forgiveness with you, therefore you shall be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits for him. In his word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchman for the morning, more than watchman for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him there is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all their sins. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through chapter 5, verse 1. It is written in the Scriptures, "I believed, so I spoke." Our faith is like this too. We believe, and so we speak. God raised the Lord Jesus from death, and we know that God will also raise us with Jesus. God will bring us together with you, and we will stand before him. All these things are for you, and so the grace of God is being given to more and more people. This will bring more and more thanks to God for his glory. So we do not give up. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker, but our spirit inside us is made new every day. We have small troubles for a while now, but they are helping us gain an eternal glory. That glory is much greater than the troubles. So we set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will last only a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. We know that our body, the tent we live in here on earth, will be destroyed. But when that happens, God will have a house for us to live in. It will not be a house made by men. It will be a home in heaven that will last forever. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. The Gospel is from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35. Then Jesus went back home, but again a crowd gathered. There were so many people that Jesus and his followers could not eat. His family heard about all these things. They went to get him because people were saying that Jesus was out of his mind. And the teachers of the law from Jerusalem were saying, "Beelzebul is living inside him. He uses power from the ruler of demons to force demons out." So Jesus called the people together and used stories to teach them. He said, "Satan will not force his own demons out of people. A kingdom that fights against itself cannot continue. And a family that is divided cannot continue. And if Satan is against himself and fights against his own people, then he cannot continue. And that is the end of Satan. If a person wants to enter a strong man's house and steal his things, first he must tie up the strong man. Then the thief can steal the things from the strong man's house. I tell you the truth. All sins that people do can be forgiven. And all the bad things people say against God can be forgiven. But any person who says bad things against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of a sin that continues forever." Jesus said this because the teachers of the law said that Jesus had an evil spirit inside him. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. They stood outside and sent someone in to tell him to come out. Many people were sitting around Jesus. They said to him, "Your mother and brothers are waiting for you outside." Jesus asked, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then Jesus looked at those sitting around him. He said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. My true brother and sister and mother are those who do the things God wants." The Gospel of the Lord. On June 15th, we celebrate the life of Evelyn Underhill, read from a great cloud of witnesses. The only child of a prominent barrister and his wife, Evelyn Underhill was born in Wolverhampton, England, on December 6, 1875, and grew up in London. She was educated there and in a girls' school in Folkestone, where she was confirmed in the Church of England. She had little other formal religious training, but her spiritual curiosity was naturally lively, and she read widely, developing quite early a deep appreciation for mysticism. At 16, she began a lifelong devotion to writing. Evelyn had few childhood companions, but one of them, Hubert Stuart Moore, she eventually married. Other friends, made later, included such famous persons as Lawrence Houseman, Maurice Hewlett, and Sarah Bernhardt. Closest of all were Ethel Ross Barker, a devout Roman Catholic, and Baron Friedrich von Hugel, with whom she formed a strong spiritual bond. He became her director in matters mystical. In the 1890s, Evelyn began annual visits to the continent of Europe, and especially to Italy. There she became influenced by the paintings of the Italian masters and by the Roman Catholic Church. She spent nearly 15 years wrestling painfully with the idea of converting to Roman Catholicism, but decided in the end that it was not for her. In 1921, Evelyn Underhill became reconciled to her Anglican roots while remaining what she called a Catholic Christian. She continued with her life of reading, writing, meditation, and prayer. She had already published her first great spiritual work, Mysticism. This was followed by many other books, culminating in her most widely read and studied book, Worship, in 1937. Evelyn Underhill's most valuable contribution to spiritual literature must surely be her conviction that the mystical life is not only open to a saintly few, but to anyone who cares to nurture it and weave it into everyday experience and also, at the time, a startling idea, that modern psychological theories and discoveries, far from hindering or negating spirituality, can actually enhance and transform it. Evelyn Underhill's writings proved appealing to many, resulting in a large international circle of friends and disciples, making her much in demand as a lecturer and retreat director. She died at age 65 in London on June 15, 1941. Let us pray. O God, origin, sustainer, and end of all creatures, grant that your church, taught by your servant Evelyn Underhill, guarded evermore by your power and guided by your Spirit into the light of truth, may continually offer to you all glory and thanksgiving, and attain with your saints to the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have promised us by our Savior Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God, now and forever. Amen.